Radio at home, it's simpler than you might think. However, if you use the internet, listening globally is even easier. See the links at this program's website. Every Thursday evening, I post a new shortwave report at the website for this show. That's outfarpress.com. At my website, you can also listen to past shows, find internet links for international broadcasters. Please consider making a safe donation online through PayPal. There's a link at my website, along with a podcast link, and get advice for listening at home. The Shortwave Report, which is now in its 22nd year of production, remains free to rebroadcast upon notification. The Shortwave Report is produced and distributed off the electrical grid in Northern California using solar panels. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to WGSC.
The 90.7 FM
Ica.
Copic.
Cairo.
Catskill. Greenport. Claverack. Kinderhook.
Greenville.
Germantown.
London. Greenville.
Schoharie. Green County,
Patrick, Ashland,
Chatham,
and East Durham,
Athens,
Haines Falls, Hunter,
and, Coxsackie,
Preston Hollow, Oak Hill,
Ankrum, Great Barrington,
Hawthorne Valley,
New Baltimore, and
Hudson, New York.
Tune in Friday, December 14th to special radio on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. At 9 a.m. on the WGXC Morning Show, Assemblymember Bill Colton, the lead sponsor of the New York State Off Fossil Fuels Act, which calls for 100% renewable energy by 2030 in the state, will be interviewed by Mark Dunley from WOOC, our partner station in Troy. Also hear the weekly congressional report for New York's 19th District with the farewell speech from Representative John Faso from the House floor. And Rob Gellis runs down the historic December events, and Phil Segura talks with Paul Sturmer, the director of the Food Bank of the Hudson Valley, and Holly Shelowitz of Nourishing Wisdom, a nutrition and wellness counselor and chef. At 11 a.m., Frederick Arnold is in with the City Folk Show from Hudson's First Presbyterian Church. And then after the new news, it's time for the Sugar Shack Jukebox. Rockin' Ray Palmer and his annual Christmas show is in at 12:05 today. Then stay tuned at 8 p.m. There's another holiday special with the Little Magician annual holiday show at 8 p.m. We've also got an extra web stream from Hilo and Catskill with Lord Youth and Nick Pankin performing along Main Street in Catskill, and on the radio at 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street. You belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Accra, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Daniel Zuckerman is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Coxsackie Village Board has approved a new water and sewer rate structure effective January 1st. Under the new rates, customers will be charged based on individual usage rather than a flat rate. Under the old plan,
The village rate for using 10,000 gallons of water or less was $122.75 per quarter, and the sewer rate for 13,610 gallons or less was $75 per quarter, according to the village. Beginning with the new year, village customers will pay $8.14 per 1,000 gallons of water and $4.33 per 1,000 gallons of sewage. Mayor Mark Evans said the change from a flat rate to a pay-by-usage could save customers approximately $130 a year. He said, and I quote, "Going to per 1,000 gallon charge is the purest form of charge we can possibly get to. There's no minimum, there's no other hidden fees. We think that we've come up with a good system, a fair system," end quote. The town rates will pay slightly higher rates because it pays a share to maintain and repair the water and sewer lines. Evans said, and I quote, "If you're a town resident and you don't like that surcharge, you've got to talk to the town. We are simply mandated to put that on the bill," end quote. The new rates take effect January 1st, and the change will be reflected in users' April 1st bills. You can read that full story at HudsonValley360.com. Aaron Cook is reporting for AMNewYork.com. State residents have 3 days left to sign up for health care benefits through the Affordable Care Act if they want guaranteed coverage on January 1, 2019. State open enrollment period closes January 31, 2019, but people must sign up by Saturday to ensure coverage in the new year. State health officials have increased their efforts to raise awareness of the deadline and get people enrolled, specifically in the wake of more federal funding cuts for marketing Affordable Care Act benefits. New York State of Health Executive Director Donna Frescator said more than 930,000 New Yorkers have already signed up for a health care plan through the marketplace this enrollment period. Frescator said, and I quote, "Current customers are re-enrolling at a rapid rate, and more than 51,000 new customers have already enrolled in the plan. The swift pace of enrollment shows that New Yorkers want the affordable health coverage they deserve," end quote. Qualified New Yorkers can enroll in a health care plan via the state online marketplace, newyorkstateofhealth.ny.gov, or call 1-855-355-5777. And you can read the full story at amny.com. MidHudsonNews.com is reporting an effort to ban plastic foam containers in Putnam County failed to pass the county legislature's health committee December 11th. The resolution failed to get the requisite number of votes to move it out of committee and on to the full legislature for a vote before the end of the year. Legislator Barbara Sakusimara championed the ban, charging, and I quote, "There was no meaningful recycling of polystyrene food containers. It takes 500 years for polystyrene to decompose. Polystyrene clogs our waters and damages wildlife," end quote. The use of polystyrene foam disposable food service containers have been banned from use by county governmental agencies such as the Office for Senior Resources, Sheriff's Office, and Putnam County Golf Course since 2015. Only large businesses or corporations would have been affected by the proposed ban. Legislator Carl Albano said adoption of the local law contained, and I quote, "no downside, it's only positive, it's a health issue and an environmental issue," end quote. Read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com. The Times Union is reporting voters in the Ichabod Crane School District narrowly approved a $27.1 million capital project December 12th. The resolution passed on a vote of 983 to 931. Superintendent of Schools Michael Vanio said, and I quote, "I would like to thank everyone who came out and supported this important project. It will directly benefit the children of our district by improving key areas of our schools and enhancing our educational programs. I'm excited to be able to move forward with our architects in planning for the construction, which we expect to complete over the next 3 years," end quote. The funding approved will be used to modernize classroom space, strengthen educational and athletic programs, and address health and safety and infrastructure concerns. Read more at IchabodCrane.com. And that wraps up the WGXE Hands-On Radio News Update.
For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow. Next, we have these reports.
Here's an interview from our partners at WOOCLP from the Sanctuary for Media Art in Troy, New York. You can go to the SoundCloud page for Media Sanctuary or look up the Sanctuary for Media Art webpage or Facebook page online for more information or to hear the complete interview.
So Rensselaer Youth Outdoors is a partnership of a few different organizations in Rensselaer County, and the goal of the program is to really expose more youth to the outdoors, get more kids outside in all the beautiful natural areas that there are in Rensselaer County. And there are already a lot of things happening with youth in terms of environmental education, but these different partners came together in Rensselaer County. The Rensselaer Plateau Alliance is one of them, Grafton Lake State Park, Dedekind Pond Environmental Education Center, with the idea that working together, they could have an even more powerful impact than they can separately. And so that's kind of how the idea was born.
Do you find it's a challenge to get youths out into the outdoors?
Yes, and not that it's the fault of youth. Really, it's more so many different factors are coming together to keep youth inside. One is culturally, we're spending more time indoors than ever before because of technology and the lure of video games and cell phones, all of these things that have been placed upon youth in this, really within the last 50 years or so, life has changed so much for youth. So yes, and then not just technology, but also there was a time when culturally people spent more time outdoors. There were fewer safety concerns from parents than there are today. When I was growing up, it was natural to walk around the block, to walk to the bus stop, and today kids are right outside. There are very few kids who are walking very far to get where they need to go. So there's just been a real shift culturally in how we experience the outdoors, and especially for youth.
I think that if we depended on media for our source of information about the outdoors, the forest would seem like a terrifying place between ticks and ash borers and just all the different things that could happen to you, much more hazardous than being in an inner city area. Is that true? Is the forest a more dangerous place today than it was 50 years ago?
No, it's not. Although there is that fear that all of these terrible things could happen when you're in the forest. And I've seen it when I worked in urban nature centers that the kids who have not spent a lot of time in nature have these, you know, fears that there are bears or tigers in the woods or they're going to get hurt. Or parents have fears, some legitimate, about ticks. But I mean, really, all of those things with a little bit of education can be overturned.
And it's not just completely a contemporary fear, right? Because many of the old Grimm's folk tales and things like that, they portray the forest as a dark and dangerous place filled with wild animals. So isn't there a cultural trajectory of fear of the forest, or is that just me reading the wrong books as a kid?
I think you're right, actually. I think there is a cultural trajectory of fear of the outdoors. If you look at Disney movies, there's a lot of that woven in. But on the flip side of that, there's a natural curiosity that children have about the outdoors and about the forest and the woods. And so that's the other side, I think, of that.
Now, you mentioned your partner organizations, and the Rensselaer Plateau Alliance is one of them. Did this stem from the work at the Rensselaer Plateau Alliance originally?
Yeah, we we originally envisioned it. We'd been doing some projects with the U.S. Forest Service. We created the first community forests in New York State, and the Forest Service had a children's forest program. They've got these children's forests that are recognized across the country, And we had the idea to create the first one in the Northeast. So this Rensselaer Youth Outdoors is the first U.S. Forest Service recognized children's forest that's east of Illinois or Wisconsin or something and north of Georgia, something like that. It's the first one in the Northeast of the United States. So, you know, we reached out. Lisa Hoyt from the Dyke Pond Center was on RPA's board during that, you know, since she was a board member in the beginning, and so she was part of that. So they were already, you know, in, and we talked to the state park about being a partner.
That's a new one on me, a children's forest. Can you talk a little bit about what that means? How's a children's forest different from a regular forest? A PG-13 forest or an X-rated forest?
So we actually, we struggled with the name, the Children's Forest. Children's Forest is a U.S. Forest Service term for an idea, really, more than a location. And so we've shifted our name and changed our name to Rensselaer Youth Outdoors with getting advice from different people since there was confusion around it. But the idea of a children's forest is really just creating more opportunities for children to get outdoors, whether that's in an urban area or in a rural area.
The various children's forests across the country are all have slightly different models. Some of them are really, you know, programs where they're getting the kids out to various places. Others do have places that the children come to, but the main concept is you know, engaging the kids in environmental education, giving them ownership in their own learning, having some of the older kids mentor the younger kids, that kind of thing.
And what are the kinds of things that you find in a forest that's oriented towards youth, or a forest program that's oriented towards youth? What do you do to make it attractive?
I think you don't have to do too much to make it attractive to youth. It's more finding the opportunities to get them outdoors. So once the youth are outdoors, the education happens pretty naturally. But we've been working a lot with schools and trying to work within their time restraints and their curriculum restraints to help them find ways to tie in nature education. So, you know, they have all these standards that they have to meet in schools for science education. And, you know, a lot of times the way that they're taught don't really pique the natural curiosity of kids to learn about their environment, their local natural environment. If they're studying about plants, they might be studying about plants in another country or, you know, that are not local to them. And so if you can connect their local natural environment with what they're learning about in school, it's just win-win. So that's one of the ways that we've been trying to get more kids outside.
It made me think, Jamie, the story we had in the one newsletter, the girl who, I forget what it was now, but she had something in her hands. They just found, they dug up in the depths of the mud near the pond, and she's like, just excited, like, what is this? And so they're finding whatever and getting excited about it, and then the other kids are gathering around, they're talking about it. And so it's that energy of just, you know, getting them there and giving them some space to explore, and they're finding their own things to get excited about.
And the other part of it is, you know, working with teachers to get them excited about being outdoors. A lot of them are naturally, but maybe need a little bit of permission to take their kids outside and connect with all these great local organizations that are already doing youth environmental ed. And so we did a teacher workshop this past summer, got a bunch of teachers together and explored different areas of the plateau, of the Rensselaer Plateau, different forests and wetlands, and then also did some tool, you know, gave them some tools to actually connect their science and other curriculum with the outdoors. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I know that when I myself live on the Rensselaer Plateau and moved there directly from the city, and I realized very early on just how much knowledge has been lost in three or four generations about gardening, about farming, about everything related to the outdoors as people moved into cities. And so the idea of a formal education program to reconnect people to the outdoors is pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. I wonder, do you find that that kids who are living in the rural areas are better connected with the outdoors, or do they need the boost also?
I would would say they need the boost also. Not all rural kids spend a lot of time outdoors. You can just as easily find a rural kid watching TV as you can, you know, an urban kid inside watching TV. So it's, you know, the problem of youth not spending a lot of time in their natural areas and outside connecting with nature is, I think, pervasive. It's not a rural or urban thing.
Well, let's get these kids connected to Rensselaer Youth Outdoors. What do they need to do to find out more?
They can go to our website, www.ryoutdoors.org.
Yep.
Okay, and are there any upcoming programs or anything that that they should be aware of? Or do you kind of close down for the winter?
We are kind of closed down for the winter, and most of our programming right now is within schools. We're hoping to expand our school programming and also our public programming in the future as well.
There will be some family-oriented programming coming up in the springtime. People can stay tuned for that.
Great. Well, thanks so much for coming and sharing this. This is great news.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Steve.
That interview was from our media partners at WOOCLP in Troy, New York, run by the Sanctuary for Media Art. Go to their SoundCloud page, Media Sanctuary, or their Facebook page or web page for the Sanctuary for Independent Media for more information or to hear that full interview.
On Silent Night Hudson 2018, in partnership with Wave Farm, Phil Klein's On Silent Night returns to Hudson for a third year. Led by Phil Klein himself, participants gather at WGXC's Hudson Studio, 169 Warren Street, inside the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson at Warren and 4th Streets, entrance on 4th Street. Participants bring a radio along to become part of the moving orchestra of sounds that engages Hudson's lesser-traveled alleys and enclaves. All are invited to participate. To do so, arrive to the WGXC Hudson Studio, First Presbyterian Church, no later than 6:45 p.m. with a boombox or smartphone with external speakers. Go to unsilentnight.com/participate for more details. Unsilent Night, an original composition by Phil Klein, written specifically to be heard outdoors in the month of December. Each participant gets one of four tracks of music. Together, all four tracks comprise Unsilent Night. Visit unsilentnight.com for more information.
That might be the home.
Hello, caller, you on the air?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I'm here. What up, dog? Hold on, man. Hey. Let me give you a clap, dog. You want to introduce your name and yourself to the people that might not know who you are? Yeah, I'm here.
I'm just answering the question.
Yeah. Go ahead, introduce yourself.
Not Robert Shaw Barksdale, Hudson native. That's it, you know?
Yeah, and Roll Tide, though.
I ain't
here,
though.
Yeah, I got you first. Rashad, man, it's always great to have you on the line. In a couple of weeks, we'll be able to have you sitting here with us. And that's what it's been. I'm going to guess, 4 years?
It's been a while. It was actually around, the last time I was there was around the Christmas time. But
You were here for Thanksgiving, bro.
Was it Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I got the pictures. But I got to say.
Wasn't it done around Christmas?
Nah, bro. Cause Star came down.
Yeah.
The last time you was here, we had the Vanique, man. This week we was on the Vanique run, yo.
Yeah.
We had the purple Vanique.
The ooze, the secret of the ooze Vanique.
Yeah, that was where Rashad went back home. Like, woo, who was that?
Yeah. You had to bring it again, though.
Yo, that I remember that, man. That was a good one.
It was vibes.
Yeah, that was a good time.
Almost got us in trouble.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They snitched on us about that.
Yeah,
remember that?
Yeah.
So it was inside. Sorry, man. Sometimes we forget we in front of the mics, man. We just be talking. I want to talk about the event, but the one thing I want to say is that I've been helping you out with the event for at least 2 or 3 years. Slay was involved for 2 or 3 years, and no matter what, and Slay, I'm gonna speak for you. No matter what, I want to help out again. And you want to know why? One, it makes me feel good inside. Mm-hmm. And two, you give out great gifts to the helpers.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say
that. That's right.
I just want to say that. talk about the event, sir.
Yeah, so this is, I've lost track, but I think this is I want to say the fourth or fifth year we've done this Christmas event.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all the slips, it's a random poll in regards to who we're selecting as far as the kids. You know, you can have the slips are at the youth center and at the middle school.
Okay.
Middle school as well.
Because
you
got to
hand them back in.
Yeah.
12 and under, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
12 and under, hand those back in by the 17th, which is, I believe, next Monday. So the winner, there's going to be a total of four winners.
Four? Okay.
Total of four winners. We're going to take them out to Club Life, you know, have some pizza, some lunch out there, and then end it with the a shopping trip at Walmart. And we're going to be transporting them around in the limo as well. So
okay.
It's always a good time.
Nice,
it's
nice.
A good time.
Yeah. What made you want to do this? I mean, Rashad, at first, you know, you started out doing the celebrity tournament, and then it seems like you progress every year or every other year. You now are involved in a Thanksgiving event. You do your Christmas event. It's almost to the point, and I mean, even this summer you did an event, like a back-to-school event, to the point where it's almost like you're involved all year round.
Yeah, I'm trying to, you know, when I first started, it was just a basketball event. And that grew, and I wanted to expand, and you know, just throughout the whole community, and help somehow, some way, and you know, I felt it was only necessary to, you know, bring along the Christmas, and then it was the Thanksgiving. So I just didn't want to do the basketball thing because that's just once a year, obviously. But and obviously, you know, these events are obviously once a year as well, but I wanted to continue to do more for the community, and you know, it's always, you know, appreciated, you know, have your guys support you, like you said, you guys come out and help, and it's just like you said, it makes you feel good. And just seeing, you know, especially this time of the year, seeing kids, you know, just happy to go shopping, the trampoline park, you know, I bring my kids with it, you know, they have fun, so it's a great time.
I'll go back, and I won't mention the kid's name, but over the summer, you gave away a bicycle. Oh, and man. I remember seeing this kid, like, it was, like, the happiest kid. Like, it was Christmas in, I think it was August or September, when you gave the bike away. And you gave a bicycle away to this young man, young boy. He's growing to be a man. And he was just excited. And I think that's one of the things that I like to be a part of, to say, like, okay, you know, we're doing some good things out here, and the kids are really looking up to it, and they feed it into it. So, respect.
Yeah,
to
and it, I appreciate it. And, it, you know, shout out to him for coming. You know, it was obviously, I was supposed to hand out more than one bike, you know, but mm-hmm. he was really the only one that showed up, which is, it's fine, you know. I mean, you can't make everybody happy, but, you know, you make one person happy, and as you saw his face, and, you know, I see, when I came home for Thanksgiving, I was thankful to still see his bike because I've heard that he's had his bike stolen
mm-hmm.
a couple of times,
yeah.
You know, we had to make sure he had a nice lock as well. Nick.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
This is Echo. You are listening to WJFC Acra, Creative Community Magical Radio.
I'm a rogue.